other yak babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Welcome to Yak Babies, the only podcast on the internet sponsored by LeVar Burton's Hurtin' Curtain, Always Cry Alone. My name's Aaron, here with my personal pals Dave.
Hello, boys.
Brick.
Hi.
Some disgusted faces on that sponsor. And then from Old Ireland, Old Irish Nico.
Hi.
Folks did not like LeVar Burton's Hurtin' Curtain.
It got better after the tagline.
But when it was over?
It made it less troubling once its purpose was revealed.
Oh, right, yeah.
You don't want to just leave that hanging out there.
Yes, they could. Multiple interpretations of the phrase Hurtin' Curtain. This one was to shroud yourself when you're...
Few of them good.
Yeah, sure. Except to shroud yourself when you're crying, because you want to be caught in the subway, for instance. Well, what are we talking about? Author bios. Dave, this topic, you had a little story behind this topic. I want you to share that story to introduce this episode to us.
Yeah, it's a good story, isn't it?
Yes.
I think in high school I went through a phase where I was reading some Hemingway, Old Man and the Sea, and then for class I read, the World War I one that we just, it's always raining, there are tanks.
Farewell to Arms.
Yeah, Farewell to Arms. Anyway, so at some point...
You read a letter that Fitzgerald wrote about his small dick and Hemingway's advice, and you read that several times.
Right.
And that was your favorite book.
So at some point while I was reading Hemingway, my mom suggested this. It was like a 600-page biography about Hemingway that she had. And she was like, oh, you're reading some Hemingway, you should read this book. And at the time, and still now, I had no interest in that, like, immediately. Because I figured, and I still kind of do, if I'm going to spend that much time with Hemingway, I would rather read Hemingway's work than read like a 600-page biography that's like, you know, some fan of his wrote about his life. Hmm. Like, if I'm going to spend that time, I would rather do it on his books and, like, you know, Movable Feast, he wrote about his own life. I would much rather do that.
Right.
You know, so I guess the question is, are there author bios that you guys would read? What do you think of them in general? Have you ever read any? Are there good ones that stand out? Aaron, and I think maybe I thought of this one because this like 900-page biography of Philip Roth just came out. And I know he's your favorite writer. You still haven't read all of his books, though. So like, if you were that interested in his life, would you read this 900-page biography rather than like finish reading the work that he wrote himself?
I think that's the angle on this question that most intrigues me, is the idea of like, should you finish the bibliography before you read the bio, right? Like, should you be a completist before you dig into like the scholarship and the context? And my sense is, I think the answer is,
Well, I guess, do you get interested typically in like a general way in the writers of the books that you like? Like, I feel like some people don't even care who the writer, what the writer's life was like, or just like the work.
Yeah. So I think it's specialized in that sense. Like, it has to be something that you're really intrigued by. Either like you want to get deeper into the art or the craft, or you're just like, that person's life is fascinating, right? I'm sure there are writers whose work I don't particularly care for or don't just care about, but their bios might be really interesting because they, like, I feel like Ayn Rand probably makes an interesting biography, even though she sucks as a person, like in her, I'm not going to read her work. Mm. So I would read that Roth biography, definitely, without having sort of finished the whole bibliography, but only because I find Roth to be interesting. But I was going to add to that, I think even more so than biographies, what I would add is like critical treatises and like that kind of stuff, right? Like assessments. I'm much more likely to read those because those inform my reading and accentuate it in ways that I like, and the bio might not always do that. So even though the critical work is like less exciting or less sort of like entertaining to read, I think that ends up being sort of more interesting ultimately to me.
Are you considering reading this Roth bio?
Yeah, totally. I would definitely.
Oh, really? Okay.
I mean, it's my to-read stack is so big, like I might as well add a 900 book that I won't get to for 6 years onto it.
How often do you read critical stuff?
Maybe it'll be another pandemic and they have time to read.
Oh, you cursed us. How often do you read critical like essays and stuff, Aaron?
Decently enough. Whenever I get in, if I'm interested in something, for sure. Especially when it comes packaged with the book, right? That's always the best.
Mm, yeah.
So when you get like the essays and like a Norton edition or whatever, I'll read all those for sure. But like, I always check out the essay section of the bookstore, or like the critical essays or criticism section or whatever of the literature, and see if there's like a book on Like, I would for sure love to read a critical assessment of Lowry. That'd be awesome. But I still most often just read the novel, I suppose.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm with you with the critical stuff. I'll read that. Biographies, really, of anybody just don't interest me. I don't.
Why is that?
Want to read them? I don't care. You know, I don't really care about Roth's life. Like, I feel like if an author's good enough to be warranting that sort of exploration, most of what you need is in their books anyway.
Hmm.
Right? And like their stories of their childhood. Those are things like I would read an article about it. I'm not going to read 900 pages about Roth's life. I don't care. You know, I would read a New Yorker essay about Roth's life and that would be sufficient for me. Hmm. You know what I mean? I'm a little more willing to read an autobiography depending on the person and why they're writing it. But even then, I read them very little. I've never liked reading biographies, and I don't particularly like watching biographical movies either. I think they're just... I think there's a very small set of humans who have had enough of an impact on history to make that worth my interest.
Is this like a new criticism thing? Like you... Like, new criticism is all about just, like, the text itself and not the biography, right? It's, like, not using author to interpret the text.
If I'm writing criticism, I think I need to consider the author and their life and their story. But as far as, like, my personal entertainment, like, I don't want to read a biography of any of the authors. I'm like, really?
Even Nabokov?
You know, I don't think so. I think
But you'd be inclined to read, like, a book about Lolita. That's just exploring that book.
Yeah, I would be all over that. Yep.
Just the book itself or his life as he was writing
like,
it?
If those elements are in there, it's fine. You know, I guess that's maybe the distinction, right? If it's something that's more than just the life story of whoever, you know, because those things, they just feel so like Forrest Gumpy to me, you know, where it's just like, you know, it's the biography of Roth, but also it's the story of a generation. It's like, come on.
Mm.
You know, that stuff is just not interesting. To me, some people love it. Some people, I feel like biographies are read most by people that just can't get their head around fiction.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And they're just like, I don't read fiction because I don't have a fucking imagination, or I'm not able to understand that like the things in here don't need to be real for them to be real, right? So they're just like, I need true stories. And like, that's fine. If that's how you want to read, then like power to you. But I would much rather read a fictionalized version that explores themes than just like a play-by-play of someone's life.
Hmm.
And I feel like most biographies are play-by-plays of someone's life. There's exceptions out there, I'm sure. But
I would say I'm more inclined to read rather than a biography of a writer. Like if I had a choice between a biography of a writer and like a collection of his or her letters, I would go with that for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would be interested if they were like kind of a maniac. Like Hemingway is kind of a reasonable case. Like, cause it has to be an interesting story on its own, like regardless of what they wrote.
Sure.
And I would be less interested in it for kind of insight into their work and more just like what their lives were like. But then there's some like Michael Chabon, I would be incredibly bored by. I just thinking about it, I feel like I'm already bored. Just like suburban fucking writer family, that's it.
Yeah, that feels like a situation of critical treatment would be more interesting than a biography, because the biography is just like success and then more success. Right.
This MFA program and he published a story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
would be more interested in biographies about people I haven't heard of.
Yeah, but
right, like here's this person from whatever era that influenced these people and like had a big impact but was, you know, whitewashed by whatever, you know, those maybe more.
It's tough too, because, you know, then the writer of the book has to be good. Like the writer of the biography and the story has to be good, the story of their life. I think it's in, like, as an idea, I could get into it, but I don't think I actually would. I could see myself actually reading a actual biography. Maybe like something like a New Yorker article where it's like an hour and then you're done.
Right.
I think too you have to also think about the writer's, I guess, angle or approach or slant. Like this guy, maybe it's like it's this guy's 900 page interpretation of Roth's life. Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of factual stuff in there too, but
yeah, I'm thinking of like the Robert Caro biographies here. Like those are so praised and respected, and like it's just like multi-volume stuff like that. Like I got the third volume but haven't read it yet of that Orson Welles biography by Simon Cowell. And I love the first two volumes. They're so good. And I just had to get around to reading the third one. There's going to be a fourth one coming out, I think. And then there's the Gary Giddens wrote the, or is working on that multi-volume biography of Bing Crosby. And the first one was excellent. And the second one came out, I think, last year. I'm also want to check out. So I want to read those. And I do enjoy those. Those are, that's a director and a singer, so it's not quite a writer. It kind of is the same equation to me of, in that case, I love Gary Giddens' writing, period, and so I'm kind of up for it. Whatever he writes, I will read. And then with Welles, I love Orson Welles, and I want to know more about his life. And he's, I mean, a completely compelling character, yeah. Like one of the most interesting lives maybe in America or in American history. Those are kind of special cases in that regard, and they deserve multi-volume treatments. But if it was just like, do you want to read five volumes at 300 words a pop of the life of Bernard Malamu? Like, maybe not. I don't know.
Most people, I probably would not think, like, no, you wouldn't want. Because if it's like multiple volumes, yeah, they have to live, if it's a president or somebody that has like an important life, and then also it's well written by like one of those well established biographers. But so, Aaron, yeah, as the person who seemingly read the most actual biographies of all of us, so what makes a good one besides like Orson Welles leading a compelling life?
I think it's the detail and in the research, right? The Bing Crosby biography. So Bing Crosby is a singer who I never minded Bing Crosby before, but I wasn't like super, and I'm still, I guess I wouldn't say I'm not like a Bing Crosby like diehard fan, but reading that book, the first volume, and all the detail that Giddens brings to describing not only his life, but also like what he did. And so it kind of doubles as critical treatment too, in some ways, right? Brought to life art that I didn't really have a lot of access to before. And so all of a sudden I appreciate it in different ways. Now when I hear Bing Crosby, I hear different things and I'm much more interested in it. And also more interested in him as a person, like the complexity. So the story on Bing Crosby is that he was like a great singer and also a sociopath, right? The Giddens biography was sort of like, well, not entirely. Like he was not a great person, but also not really a sociopath either. There's like a sort of another layer there. And the more willing the biography is to get into those sort of nuances and details, I think the better it is. When they just sort of like stick to the story of plot points and don't try to interpret or comment on what's happening in the person's life, then that's more boring to me. When it's just like this, and then he moved to fucking Iowa. It's like, so I want that kind of revelation. I want that. I mean, I guess it's not like epiphany, but I want something similar to that. And then I want the biography to inform my appreciation of that person and their work, probably.
Do you think you'd be more interested? Because I kind of think I would be reading a biography about kind of a more tortured person versus a healthy and well-adjusted person. Like if somebody is really well-adjusted, you know, Orson Welles, like a prolific director or something, or a nut job, would you be drawn to the nut job?
Well, I mean, I guess the assumption here would be that like probably everyone has some intriguing angle on their work or their life, right? Whether it's like, you know, being a nut job or like some sort of mental illness situation or whatever it is, like there's probably something to look into. So if the biographer could figure that out and render it, then yeah, I am intrigued. If it's just what I don't like, I think maybe what you're asking here is like, I don't want a story of just like success. Or a story of just like, it was all good and then everything was nice. Like, it seems like I want some conflict or something to kind of intrigue me as well. But I don't just want to read misery. Like, when I was a kid, I read like a Nolan Ryan biography because I was I lived in Texas, a Texas Rangers fan. And Nolan Ryan was like, you know, the greatest pitcher of all time, whatever. So I read that biography of him and it was like, his life wasn't exactly hard. It was just like, he grew up in the country and he liked playing baseball, and then he did pretty good at that in high school and college, and then he went to the majors and he was very, very good, and then he retired. Or I mean, because he was at that point he was still playing, but it's like that's the story. It's like he was exceptionally good at baseball. He got traded or whatever, but every time he just continued to be even better, and then he got older and he was still really, really good. And as a kid I was like, yes, Nolan Ryan rules. But as an adult, you're like, well, I don't know, that could be an article or a Wikipedia entry. I don't know that he needs to dig into life of Nolan Ryan that much.
I would read a fucking book about Ted Williams' head.
We should write that.
The article we found at Percy's was fantastic. Another angle on this one, any of you read The Agony and the Ecstasy by Irving Stone?
No, I know that's one of your favorite books, though. I remember that.
So he made a whole career of writing these fictionalized biographies. So Agni Ecstasy is about Michelangelo, but there's one about Freud. There's one about, I think, Raphael, the turtle, not the painter. There's a bunch of them. And they're all kind of the same, and they sort of like follow these like sort of the plots. They're like they're pretty dense. They're like 600, 700 page novels. I mean, they read quickly, but they're thick. They're kind of pulpy bios. And I fucking loved Agony Ecstasy. I thought it was so good when I was in high school. It's probably not.
When was it written?
But I'm definitely into that. It's sort of like kind of fictionalized back in the 50s? Let's see.
What about the movie?
Not great.
Is that what the movie's based on?
Agony Ecstasy, yeah. Yeah. With Charlton Heston.
Huh. That's weird.
61 is when it came out.
Okay.
The novel. Yeah, there's a list here of all of Irving Stone's books, and they're all like...
My uncle has always been pushing his Jack London. What is it, like, Sailor on Horseback, yeah. And that's another case. Like, Jack London had an interesting life. I like some of the work of his that I've read, but I don't know. I don't need to read that book.
Right. So Lust for Life is about Van Gogh. Sailor on Horseback is about Jack London. Immortal Wife is about Jesse Benton Fremont. Adversary in the House about Eugene Debs. Passionate Journey about John Noble. The President's Lady about Andrew Jackson and his marriage to Rachel Donaldson Jackson. It goes on.
And these are all fictionalized?
Yeah, they're all like fictionalized.
But bios. Okay, but
one yeah. called The Passions of the Mind by Freud.
I guess I'd be maybe more inclined to read that than like a regular biography of Jack London.
But they're based...
Yeah, I kind of...
They're based on actual sources. So they are like historicized though.
Yeah, okay. They're researched. And there's there's definitely fact... I'm sure there's tons of massaging. So they're not... I don't think you'd like cite them as like critical research in your scholarly essay about Michelangelo. But I think it's like close enough to fact that it's like, yeah, this is the basic story. And there's a lot of fluff in there to make it like dramatic.
Yeah,
maybe we should read one of those for a book club sometime. Those are pretty fun.
600 page novel by Michelangelo. Oof. It's a big ask.
Surprisingly good. Like, it's gripping. Like, you talks about carving the marble and you're like, yeah, I could do that. Sounds
when
great.
Did you last read that?
Oh, high school.
So Dave, you read Lincoln and the Bardo and you really liked it, and that's kind of, I mean, obviously that's not historical, but it is based on a real thing that happened to Lincoln and based on a lot of sources. How do you feel about those kind of books that start with a real event
or... and then spin out into insanity?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't mind that story. Yeah.
I'd much rather read historical fiction than just
history. Yeah. You didn't like that aspect of it, Nico?
I got a little bogged down when he gets like really into the historical sources. It's just like source. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. Maybe we can dive into that a little when you finish it and we do a what are we reading.
Yeah, that might be a good candidate for a group read too. Mm-hmm. I want to read that book as well. Listeners, talk to us about your experience with author biographies. Do you read them? And if so, why? Which ones did you like? Which ones are good? Which ones should we be checking out? We're open to suggestions here. Tell us what we should be looking at or are reading as far as the author bios on Twitter at YakBabies, and also email us YakBabiesPodcast@gmail.com to tell us your thoughts there. You can also access on Patreon, patreon.com/YakBabies. For $1 a month, you can get access to our bonus podcast, which is full of fun and games, literal games. We just played one that Dave created about the last lines and opening lines of novels that was super fun and not for public consumption. That's the secret, is their self-blackmail, available for $1 if you go there. Also, we have some merch. You can find that in our Twitter bio or somewhere on Twitter. I don't know. It wasn't the bio. I'm not sure it's there anymore. So we'll put that up there as well so you can buy our t-shirts and mugs and such and get more yak into your lives. Until then, yak babies, yakking off.
The Yak Babies would like to thank all the loyal listeners and especially their patrons, both past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, Sebastian, David, Roger, Kathleen, Bailey, Andrew, and William Howard Taft.